All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Intel report, and we go out to Heroes Nation, and we're really glad to have you here. Censorship free, commercial free. It's a great deal. I've been talking all day. This is my sixth interview today, and I've done 9 podcasts for YouTube today as well too. So the voice is about shot, but duty calls, and I got one more left in me. We're in the wee evening hours of Monday, and we're gonna get this up on the next day, and we're going to once again revisit a couple of topics that we've recently talked about. One is the story that's persistent, and we're going to break a huge story on this. Is there an extraterrestrial mothership in our solar system? And don't laugh. I'm not serious. I'm not joking. We have a guest from Harvard, a Harvard professor, who is in a position to answer this question, and we're going to have him on later this week. But we're going to explore that superficially, and then we're going to get back into part two of AI. We did a pretty extensive analysis the other day, but there was a lot left unsaid, and Doug, I got to tell you, before we jump in to these two topics, you were reading there about people can identify as an alien brought here to seed the planet and whatever. And I'm thinking, okay, we got people that want to identify, their men identifying as women, women identifying as men. Now we got earthlings identifying as aliens.
Oh, you should see some of these people. Well, you know what's really sad? And I love for the psychological breakdown here, but you have people who will literally tattoo their entire skin, tattoo their eyeballs. This one guy cut his ears off, cut his nose off.
Is this a descendant of Van Gogh or what?
I swear I saw it and I could not. He even removed part of his fingers. I believe his pinkies. Now, because
let's hope his dismemberment stopped there.
Well, I don't even want to go any further. Now, let's just say that is a particular case of psychosis. It's rare for people, I believe, to mutilate themselves like that, but it's starting to look a bit like it's getting popular. And you know what's really funny with a lot of these crowds? They all have a similar background, or let's say a similar theme. They're all anti-biblical worldview. Every one of them.
Well, you could explain that simply and say there's a good chance demonically possessed.
Yeah, or demonically influenced, obviously, right? And here let's go over this article. I thought I was just dreaming when I was reading it, but apparently I'm not. This is from the Daily Mail. Do you identify as an alien? Psychologists reveal why thousands of people believe they are star seeds, individuals from other planets sent here to heal humanity. Now, that goes along with the Hopi legend that you and I did an hour-long interview, and then we lost the entire thing. So we're going to have to revisit that because that was a really fun conversation.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Man,
yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, you missed probably one of our funnest conversations we've had in a long time. And then during the conversion, the whole thing got lost on my side and on Dave's side. So somebody didn't want us talking, apparently. But let's get into this. If you believe you're an alien, you are not alone. Thousands of people identify as star seeds who come to Earth from another planet to save humanity. The term star seed was introduced in the 1976 book Gods of Aquarius, but it has seen millions of search queries and more than 1 million views of the hashtag on social media in recent months. Riding the conversation, 3 English psychologists have embarked on a mission to understand why people are now identifying as aliens, and it seems to come down to personalities and mental disorders. These individuals typically feel a lack of belonging, need a sense of purpose, love, fantasy, and are sometimes schizophrenic. Now, it's funny how the Daily Mail is so quick to say that, but yet they won't say that about the transgenders.
Read the quote again. I want to break it down psychologically.
Okay. These individuals typically feel a lack of belonging, need a sense of purpose. They love fantasy and are sometimes schizophrenic. Identify as starseed alien galactic children. You can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, I'm taking notes on what you said so I can respond to it point by point. This obviously wasn't written with any consultation with a psychologist. The referenced language and description is really outside the field. It's more of a layman's, hey, they're crazy type of approach. Now, having said that, let me do a close approximation, okay? Sense of isolation. Okay, I would assume what they mean is they don't have normal human contacts, family support system, friends, workplace relationships, and so forth, okay? That's what I'm assuming they mean, and this fits into a personality disorder we call independent disorder, personality disorder. They can be called schizoids. That's not schizophrenic. Schizoids are people that purposely isolate. They can get by in life to some degree, but they have to work with things and not with people. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, so that would be the ISO. Fantasy, we all have fantasy. I mean, we have fantasy of glory. We have sexual fantasies. We have fantasies of impending doom. I look at that, and I'm not going to put any kind of stigma on that because they didn't talk about severity. Now, fantasy can represent a break from reality in its extreme. And then you get into, they said schizophrenia. I once did intake. This is my first day on the job when I was assigned to doing intake at a facility, mental health facility. And a lady presented, and we didn't do what they called SMI, serious mental illness. And schizophrenia is a serious mental illness. So this woman comes in, and we're going through her history and her drug abuse and her prison term and so forth. And she was going to be on the woman's side of the facility. It was about 95 men and about 10 women, but they were segregated. They had to go through 6 months with us to qualify for probation, and we'd make a recommendation to the court. Okay, so she comes in, and she got all the way through the system. It's just amazing. And she starts saying, well, that's what Ashtar told me. And I said, well, who's Ashtar? And he goes, he's the commander of the space fleet that I visit. He beams me up. We have sex. He beams me back down when he's done. And then there was a lot of other fantasy situations associated with alien involvement.
Was this person on Coast to Coast? Because I've heard this story.
No, she was not on Coast to Coast. She was not on Coast to Coast. So I flagged this as an SMI, and I went to my boss and I said, what do you want to do? And I said, we don't have psychiatrists on staff. We'd have to farm her out. That's an arm and a leg with cost. And so he said, we got to put her in a psychiatric facility. Okay, so that's what we did. But she was schizophrenic. That's an example of schizophrenia. Schizophrenics don't function very well in society, but I will say this. They have periods where they can, but then they have periods where they can't. And you never know what you're going to get. It's kind of like, box of chocolates, a metaphor. All right, the other one, what did you say after fantasy in between that and schizophrenia?
They lack belonging, need a sense of purpose, love fantasy, and sometimes schizophrenic.
They lumped it all together. Here's what you could see, and I will tell you this. Alien stories are fairly common among schizophrenics. It's not uncommon.
Why is that?
And I don't know that there's an answer.
Well, I've dealt with that in law enforcement. You know, when we talk to people that are homeless, here's a bit of a story. I had one guy come in one day to the federal building, and he says to the security guards that are outside, "I need to talk to Homeland Security. It's a matter of national security." And because I was the senior man on deck, I was approached with the problem. And so I walk outside to meet a man who has maybe three teeth in his head, clearly does some sort of methamphetamine from the way he was standing and shaking, mm-hmm. and had the tweaker head movement.
Right.
Proceeded to tell me that his name was Robert. Occasionally he goes by God. And I'm writing notes, right?
That's common. Like, that's common too.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay. And he says, "So this is what I got. Michael the Archangel has come down to tell me that Lucifer and his fallen angels are masquerading as world leaders and as falling asteroids, and he knows how to stop them, but needs to speak to the president." And so I'm just flabbergasted. And I said, "Well, Robert, God, you can't talk to the president, but you can always write him a letter. You can try going to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and getting a meeting with him. He might see you, but more than likely not." And this is an old joke within law enforcement. And for all you law enforcement guys, you probably know where I'm going with this. What we like to do to people like that is we say, you don't talk to Homeland Security. Who you need to talk to is the FBI. And so we sent him upstairs to go and talk to the FBI.
I love it.
We always do it.
I know why you're doing it. Yes.
They do it to us and we do it to them. We'll send people to the ATF and to DEA and because it's sad, but you get these people and you have to entertain them because they really sometimes believe their psychosis. And sometimes we have these people are regulars, like Robert. He was a regular. He would always come in to get a Social Security check, and then he would forget why he was there, and then he would just randomly go, "How did I just get here?" I'm like, "Robert, you just walked through here."
Now, there can be memory issues with schizophrenics. It's not common. Let me tell you what they typically do with schizophrenia. They will think they're a famous figure in history. They're never Joe the janitor. They're like Marie Antoinette or Abraham Lincoln or someone like that. That's the most common, what we call delusions of grandeur. And schizophrenia, and I don't want to make the show just about schizophrenics, but you have delusions, you have hallucinations. Hallucinations are would be like describing Skinwalker Ranch right in front of you. Okay, that would be a hallucination. Kind of an LSD type of effect, but without the drug. So you have all different forms. I think there's like, I don't know how DSM divides it up now, but when I was training, there was 26 different subtypes of schizophrenia. And real common are delusions of grandeur and paranoia. Those are the two most common. And let me tell you what he said, though, that kind of rang with me a little bit. And you might want to put me away for this. But he said, aliens are here and they've assumed powerful government positions. I'm not that far off when I say, you know, when I look at Genesis 6 and go to Revelations and I talk to my friends that are a little more biblically knowledgeable than I am. And I say, I think the fallen angels have passed on their genes and I think they're the ones trying to destroy humanity for Satan. It's a hypothesis, I admit. But that's not that far off from that. And I will also tell you this, too. Operation Project Bluebeam comes into play here, where you have a fake alien invasion. So here's the thing with schizophrenics. They can present with plausible delusions, but as soon as you talk it out, you can see right through it. That's what I'm pointing out here. Okay, what this guy was, he probably had delusions of paranoia. Definitely had delusions of grandeur. I mean, my name's Robert or God, take your pick. Yeah, interesting, but classic schizophrenic. But I'm going to say this, though. I don't agree with the way that article was written. They said mental illness, Doug, and what they did was a very inaccurate description of related mental illnesses.
Well, let's continue with this, and I want to hear your breakdown after this. All right, so star seeds or star people believe they carry information from other dimensions, histories, and galaxies, and claim there are several ways to tell if you're one of them. These include searching for your life purpose, feeling more mature than others, constantly feeling unmotivated and have no passions. There are also different types of star seeds, depending on where they came from, their features, and their mission on Earth. For example, Arcturians came from the star Arcturus in the Bootes constellation. I think I said that right. These individuals tend to have a darker complexion, low body temperature, and blood pressure. According to Cosmic Cuts, their mission is to bring and grounding to humans while on Earth. Okay. Then there are Andromedans, who come from the galaxy Andromeda and typically have an oval-shaped face with thin build. And this group of starseed's mission is to bring peace and love to races enslaved by the reptilians. Andromedans are spiritual warriors set on humans from the negative energy circuits of reptilian starseeds. That sounds a lot like true Scientology.
They're in the David Icke fan club. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, when I read stuff like this, I feel that it's negative in a lot of ways to ufology, and I feel that it's a negative light to actual research that's gone down. You know, if our friend Tim Alberina was on right now and I read this, he would be laughing his butt off.
Yeah, I sort of am too, but I'm going to tell you something here, Doug. First of all, if you came to me and you presented with this information, I wouldn't automatically reject it out of hand. I'd look at a couple of things. Let's take Robert as an example. One of the things you look at with schizophrenics, many of them have really bad grooming. You said he had three teeth in his head, probably stunk to high heaven, hadn't had a shower in weeks, fingernails not clipped. So you have all these types of self-care grooming deficiencies. That would be one of the first things I'd look at. I would also look at congruence of statements. How well does this story flow? Because I'll give you an example. Okay. So there's a schizophrenic speech disorder called a neologism. And it would go something like this. It's all over for a squab true tray, except to my mother and father who stand alone upon the island of Capri. And it's my suitcase, sir. I've got to travel to keep my energy alive. They're talking for the sake of talking. They're not communicating. And actually, that what I just told you was probably more of a word salad than a neologism. There's also clanging where they rhyme incessantly, bang, sang, rang, dang, fang, bang. And every time they speak, they seek to rhyme. And then in the most simple form of a neologism, they can communicate meaning, but the words get jumbled. And this is what you look for in schizophrenics. So, for example, I've got belly bad luck. And I've been this way since old-fashioned time. Well, actually, that does make sense if you understand how schizophrenics can talk with this disorder. Belly bad luck would be a stomach ache, and old-fashioned time would be for quite a while. So I would look for those kinds of incongruencies with their discussion with me. But I wouldn't dismiss out of hand the fact that they're communicating with other dimension, they're communicating with aliens, because it is in the small realm of possibility. And so before you discount the story, let's look at the other factors that give us the diagnostic variables to assign a mental illness. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You know, Robert obviously completely matched what you said. And his story was almost always the same, but he didn't have multiple personality syndrome. He was always Robert.
Schizophrenia is not multiple personality. I want to make this distinction. A lot of people have this belief that schizophrenia, they think, means split personality. And it really doesn't mean schizo split and phrenia's brain. And so literally they're saying split brain. But it's not multiple personality. schizophrenia is probably about 80 to 90% genetic, and the environment acts on and brings out the worst. Multiple personality is exclusively environmental, and most of it's caused by extreme abuse. Most of it's usually ritualistic sexual abuse before the age of 8. And they make up different personalities and they fantasize out of these personalities. Now, could you see someone, the technical name for this is dissociative identity disorder. They don't even call it multiple personality anymore. But could you see someone presenting with these symptoms like you're talking about if it was one of their personalities? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So they could have, well, this is, who am I talking to now? Well, I'm talking to Bob. Okay, Bob, tell me about you. Well, and you might be looking at a 20-year-old male and you say, well, I'm 67 years old and I'm retired and I'm just kind of wandering the streets now trying to save humanity. Okay, so that would be Bob. Then there could be Carol. And oh, by the way, the transgender movement invaded multiple personality long before it was fashionable to be trans, because you could be different genders, different ages, different races when you're multiple. And you could invent an alien personality. That's happened. I'm aware of that. I've seen that in the literature. And so that could happen. But I want to go back to what we're saying here with this story. The story is a piece of crap. The way they wrote the symptomology, the way that they referenced and they bundled into one batch, well, you're schizophrenic, you're this, you're that, very unprofessional. They should have consulted with a psychologist before they wrote the article.
So they went on to say that these people who identify as aliens, people who are depressed, lack belonging, and will search out anything that even slightly sounds like who they are, and even creates a more exciting world for themselves, is part of the Four effect, named after psychologist Bertram Four, which states that people who are depressed or disenfranchised will latch onto descriptions and belief systems that vaguely describe themselves. Besides believing you are an alien, the Four effect occurs with horoscopes. For individuals whisked away in fantasy, seeing yourself as being from another world can be intertwined with your reality. The experts call this source monitoring error, a term that describes a type of unconscious memory error.
Let me share this with you. Okay, first of all, what you're reading there is a bunch of horse pucky. Seriously, it's nonsense. Read it again, and I'll say stop, and I'll dissect it. Go ahead.
Roger. All right, so the Four effect, named after psychologist Bertram Four, states that people who are depressed or disenfranchised will latch onto descriptions and belief systems that vaguely describe themselves.
Okay, depression has nothing to do with this. Zero. Neither would bipolar, even in a manic state. You're talking about a mood disorder, and I don't believe you would see that. Okay, what was after depression?
Besides believing you're an alien, the Four effect occurs also with horoscopes and fantasies.
Well, that comes back to sense of reality again. So now we're back into the schizophrenic domain where that's a possibility. You can have healthy fantasies, and a lot of times we'll role play, we'll talk to ourselves, have conversations with ourselves, we'll role play something out, but we know it's not real. The question here, if this is a mental illness, is can the person distinguish reality from fantasy? It's not the participation in it. It's the distinction, but you know, the difference between the two.
What about the case for hybrids?
For
the alien-human hybrid theory. Tim Albarino goes into a lot of depth about the, I guess you could say, the hybrid project that is here on Earth, that has been here for quite some time, and that now that they are so well adapted that they look just like me or you, you would never tell the difference. And even some are so well adapted that they can speak just like you and I and not know the difference, but they have problems with figuring out simple things and simple tasks. kind of like a child. Could that also be what they're describing?
No, I know of no evidence for that. I mean, anything's possible. But, you know, I told you before, and I don't know if I told the story on air, but when I was fixed up on a blind date at Houlihan's in the Tamarack Square in Denver, Colorado, like early 1980s. And I was just a young guy. I didn't have an advanced degree. Wasn't working. I just had a bachelor's. Wasn't out of college that long. And I have to tell you, Doug, I was fixed up with this lady. I didn't do blind dates. I said no at first. And I kept getting, oh, come on, come on. She's beautiful. You'll like her. She was attractive and she was friendly and she seemed like she liked me. And then she said, you haven't asked me what I do for a living. And I said, okay, what do you do for a living? She goes, well, like you, and this is when I was a young history and psychology teacher in a high school, as well as a basketball and football coach. And she goes, like you, I'm in education, but I don't teach the kind of students you teach. And I said, well, what do you teach? And I'm expecting to hear like kids with special needs, you know, kids with disabilities. And that's not what I got. I teach human alien hybrids, how to assimilate into society. And so, okay, by that at that point in time, I don't care what she looked like. My mindset at that time, now today, if this happened, we're going to have a long conversation. I'm really going to explore this to see if there's any believability to the story, because it's kind of interesting. But at that time, I couldn't get out of there fast enough. And I had to make up some excuse. So I had to go home and do the laundry or whatever. But, you know, I look back on that now. Everything that she said and did up to that point was rational, very rational. And I didn't have the diagnostic skills that I developed later in life. So I just thought she was nice. She's pretty. She seems interested. This is going really well. And then hybrids comes up and it's time to go home. Doug, I don't know if they're alien hybrids. I have no idea. I suppose it's possible. We have a whole army of literature on this fact. The professor at Temple University, his name jumps out of my head right now, David, whatever. He's interviewed a lot of people that say they've been abducted. They've been implanted. Women have been, and they give birth after they're re-abducted. The stories about hybrids are common, but I can't validate that. I have no idea.
See, I don't approach this as a skeptic. I approach this as an investigator, and I want to gather as many details about the incident as possible. And, you know, it is strange when you have so many different occurrences of the same phenomena, and then to say that, you know, tens of thousands of people experiencing this similar abduction phenomena, and then to see very similar circumstances, and then to say, okay, well, they're all just in a state of psychosis now. For me, I want to say that that's a cop out. I want to say that's a way of just ignoring a very particular problem. Now, I'm kind of like you. I cannot prove that there are hybrids. I cannot prove that there are alien abductions. But just like with Bigfoot sightings and the Loch Ness Monster sightings, there is a statistic out there of an enormous amount of people who have claimed to be abducted. They all have very similar stories, and patterns to the stories mean a lot with investigations. When you start to see a pattern of behavior, that means quite a bit. And either everybody is in a state of psychosis or it's a government operation. And even for me to say that, that's fairly wild to say that the government is abducting millions of people every year and then just messing with them just to say, you know, haha, look, there's aliens or whatever it is that they're doing. To me, even that sounds a little bit ridiculous.
It doesn't to me, and I'll tell you why. My father and his revelations, 1984, 1985, specifically mentioned Project Bluebeam. if you want to facilitate that myth as the last resort to take over, nothing else has worked. So now it's the aliens, and we have to go to one world government to protect each other, and on and on and on as it goes. If you wanted to facilitate that myth, this is exactly what you do. And I'm going to talk to you about the Travis Walton case for a second. This is something I don't know about firsthand, but my former news director and good friend Annie DiRiso did. And she was my news director for 6.5 years, the wife of one of my best friends, the late Bill Pollack. And she knew Travis Walton. And Travis Walton said that when he was abducted, there was military personnel there. People in Air Force uniforms. And I asked Annie, I said, tell me about Travis Walton. She said, as normal as the day is long.
Mm-hmm.
If you took this story out of his life, there is nothing there that's extraordinary in terms of mental health. So if you told me that Project Blue Beam is behind the alien abductions, and then, of course, there's the people that fantasize, the people that lie to draw attention to themselves. But I would have no trouble believing that that would happen. I don't know that it has, but I would look at that as a plausible explanation.
See, and here's my issue with it, is being that I worked for the government for 15 years, and I know how horrible of a job we do at being a government. It's funny to me to think that we are so well organized with abducting people that we never let that secret out.
Special ops, baby.
Yeah, but ops. But even that, you know, people write stories. I mean, hell, every year you have a new Navy SEAL who killed the latest, you know, boogeyman that's happened, and you know, then he gets his own book and Shake Weight and Perfect Push-Up named after him.
All right, so you're giving me the you could believe it story, and I'm giving you an alternative, and I'm going to say to me, you sound like you're isolated. You have fantasy. Okay, and you might be schizophrenic.
Well, you know, Professor Avi Loeb, who's going to be on with us Thursday.
From Harvard.
I would love to have this conversation with him. He wrote the book Interstellar, The Search for Extraterrestrial Life, and Our Future in the Stars. He has to do with quite a bit. Listen to a little bit of his background. Okay. Avi Loeb, professor of science of Harvard University, best-selling author in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Publishers Weekly, Die Zeit, Der Spiegel, El Express. He received a PhD in physics from Hebrew University of Jerusalem in Israel at age 24. Strategic Defense, led the first international project supported by the Strategic Defense Initiative from 1983 to 1988. And was subsequently a long-term member of the Institute of Advanced Study at Princeton. Loeb has written 8 books, including most recently Extraterrestrial and Interstellar, and nearly 1,000 papers of H-index of 123 and I-10 index of 562 on a wide range of topics, including black holes, the first stars, the search of extraterrestrial life, and the future of the universe.
Is he a physicist?
Yes. Loeb is the director of the Institute for Theory and Computation within the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, and also serves as the head of the Galileo Project. He had been the longest serving chair of Harvard's Department of Astronomy and the founding director of Harvard's Black Hole Initiative. He is an elected fellow of the American Academy of Arts and Science, the American Physical Society, and the International Academy of Astronautics. Loeb is a former member of the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology at the White House, and a former chair of the Board of Physics, of the Board on Physics and Astronomy of the National Academics. So, I mean, this guy has been leading many different projects on this very controversial question.
Yeah, I hear you. You're not dissuading me from believing what he's saying.
Let me ask you a simple question. I would have to say that he believes extraterrestrial life does exist, or he at least has made his life goal the search in that question. Now, between you and I, we differ a little bit, I believe, at times on this. I believe there is the possibility that extraterrestrial life can exist inside this solar system on other planets. Some people say that can't happen because we're on a flat earth and a firmament.
Don't even go there, please. I don't want to hear the flat earth nonsense.
All right. There's other people who say there's no such thing as aliens. They're all demons.
They could be.
Well, here's the thing. What's to stop an angel, a fallen angel, from taking its creation and then whisking it away and putting it on another planet or underneath a planet in a pyramid, possibly like what in Mars, and keeping it alive and sustaining it for such a time. Now, that is just as an outrageous theory as some of the other theories that are out there from guys with a PhD in front of their name.
Well,
but who has the proof of it? I'm just asking questions.
I am too, but I will tell you this. Let's go back to what I do know, okay? I was best friends with Bill Pollack. He kind of mentored me through my process when I couldn't take what I knew about my dad's work public until my mom passed, but I processed it with him and with Vance Davis, NSA. Bill was also an intel officer too. And from them, I met a guy named Bob Dean, Senior Master Sergeant of NATO. I don't need to tell you how much power there is in that. He had the power of a general. Okay, so Bob Dean, they're telling me all this stuff about Bob. Bob says this, Bob says that, and it was phenomenal. So by the time I met Bob, we had a closed-door meeting. There were astronauts there, and this was in the back of a hair salon, I kid you not, in Mesa, Arizona. Should have Vance on to talk about this meeting. It was fascinating. But we had this meeting, and I told what I knew. We all signed non-disclosures. Vance and Bill told what they knew. And then here's Bob Dean, an old man who's in a wheelchair with a blanket on his legs, wearing a cap. Okay, he didn't look like he'd been a NATO non-com, but I know that Vance served under him. Vance knew him. And so here's what he said, Doug. We know in NATO that there are over 24 alien species visiting the planet. Some are rather benign. Some are hostile. Some are friendly to us. And there is basically, for the most part, a non-interference agreement like you used to see in the original Star Trek movie, our show. But he said a lot of the alien races will flirt with that. They'll push the boundaries. Now, that's from a senior non-com from NATO. I mean, we're not talking a guy off the street writing science fiction novels. Now, am I willing to believe that? No, not based on his word alone. But I'm not dismissing it either.
Can I tell you where I have a problem with this? So where I have a problem with a lot of this is that if you say, okay, where's your physical proof? There is none. They can never produce it. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you have Project ATIP. And the government says, oh, by the way, we have proof. We've had proof. We've lied to you about the proof. And we're just now coming out about it. Okay. But anyone listening to me right now, have you seen the government's proof?
Well, we have with the UFO sightings with Commander Farver and his jet, when he was on the jet chasing these, and the radar operators on the ship. I've talked to the radar operator, Annie. I knew the guy that actually put on this UFO conference in Phoenix actually built my house. And so Annie and he invited me to come, and I got to meet. And I got to tell you, I believe it. We've seen the videographic evidence. Tucker Carlson's had them on. They show the evidence there as well. That was real. Now, what I can't say is this an advanced developed project from people right here on Earth, like Area 51, for example? I don't know that. So what I do know is we saw something that could be described as possible alien.
So, and I'm not denying any of this. I'm just going to play the adversary for a second. If you and I were to go to court, and remember, this is how I always approach these things. If you and I were going to go to court and we had a judge, and you, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, are my jury, Dave has to bring forth evidence to prove his statements. And I say, if you have no evidence besides witness testimony, then it's hearsay, it's speculation,
and
it's nothing but testimony. And even the video, the Tic Tac video, is blurry. And we have much better grade video on those weapon systems attached to your aircraft than what was shown. And I will tell you that everything you were always shown is what was approved by the lawyers. Everything you're always told is what was approved by the lawyers, approved by DARPA, approved by the Pentagon, and approved by, quote, the elite. And it just leads you just far enough down the rabbit hole that the thousand other people who love to comment on that conversation can then take you down with their own little tentacle stories and take you down that rabbit hole. And then the government had to do nothing more than just to set the bait and watch everyone come in and take it. And so here goes my problem. If it's real, how many people, and there are quite a few people who believe what I just said as concurrent facts, that there is no alien race, there is no UFOs, there is no projects out there, that everybody's just crazy. Okay. There's plenty of people out there. I'll tell you that I know people who've seen UFOs, and from my interpretation, I guess you could say, of their conversation, they were telling me the truth. Okay. And as far as I can tell, as a trained investigator, they were telling me the truth. But, you know, I mean, take that as far as you want, because that's then given over to the jury to decide what was real and what was false.
Okay.
But the Pentagon still has not produced proof. They say they have it. Show it. You'll produce all the proof of Donald Trump, but nothing of what you keep putting the carrot out in front of us for.
Okay. Well, I'm satisfied from what I've seen. The Tic Tac video is proof of advanced technology. Where it came from is what's not been proven. So I'm a little more, I think, open-minded on that area. I've seen enough to say there's something there, okay? But I'm not going to say it's alien because we don't know. You know, let me tell you, the people I hung out with in the 90s, okay? And I only had a seat at the table because of what my dad did, and they were fascinated by it. And a lot of people didn't have access to that information. So that's why I got into that circle. And that was Vance Davis and Bill Pollack that brought me in. I've heard astronauts, top-level physicists who would never want their name out there. And I'm not going to divulge even after this many years gone by. We're talking like 96, 97, 98. Okay. And let me tell you what they say. They believed, the majority, not all, but they believed in a pre-Adamic society. They think the earth has fallen and risen many times, all of the Hopi prophecies, and that we did travel out to the stars at one time. And I'll offer one small piece that gets me to think there's a possibility it's true. If you take the Cydonia region in Mars, where your shadows are 45 and 90 degree angles, which is a joke, it's an artificial structure. Nature is more random than that. But here's what's even not more random, is the placement of whatever is on Cydonia matches exactly what we have at the Giza Plateau region. And both of these areas point to the constellation Orion.
Yep.
There are too many coincidences there to ignore. And what I'm saying to you is, if it is true that we went out there and the aliens coming back are actually pre-Adamic and it's us from a long time ago, I think that's a theory that needs to be entertained. Now, I know people are going to say this, Dave, you say you're a Christian. Yeah, I say I'm a Christian, but show me where a pre-Adamic society is precluded in the Bible. They talk about creation, and then we go forward, and we know there was dinosaurs before us. We know there was a lot of stuff before us. And then all of a sudden you got the Adam and Eve biblical story. And so what I'm saying is, you know, if the dinosaurs are real and we see the proof of it today, then pre-Adamic society is possible. And this is where a lot of my Christian friends are so closed-minded. They think they have a week-by-week description of human history in the Bible, and they do not.
So let me add this flavor to the story then. The same people, and I'm not saying the same people who told you this, but the same people who told the people that you know are the same people who created MKUltra, the Monarch program.
Not these two people, no.
But the CIA, the DIA, okay. The Pentagon.
I'm not going to let you do. That's not Vance or Bill.
No. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about within the same organizations. You have various different lines of people who have gone the complete occult route. I mean, and you know this, the complete occult route. Mm-hmm. And then you have people who have been to places that 1% of people on Earth or less have been to, which is out in space. And then you have an entire group of people who don't even believe space exists. But Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut, those people, I believe what he said. Now, Edgar Mitchell, a very famous astronaut, he actually did an ESP. I always found this fascinating. He did an ESP experiment while he was on the dark side of the moon, trying to communicate with fellows of his. I believe they were in New York at the time. And he's the one who said that there was a phallus that was on Phobos. Was it the moon Phobos for Mars?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, how would he know that? Oh, and then how could he know that? And then we see a photograph of that from one of our satellites. You know, how do you explain this? And here's what really upsets me at times. Maybe I'm just gullible, right? I'm sure everyone will take advantage of that statement. But do you really believe that they put up multi-billion-dollar satellites in space just to show 3D images of cinematography?
No.
That's fake.
I won't say it's fake. I'll say it masks another purpose.
Well, there has been pictures of the Mars rover and some of the pictures of the red planet where you actually had like a dusty red sky. Okay. Recently, and this guy's on YouTube, but it's a secure team. He actually gathered some pictures together of the same pictures that the Mars rover took. What was that, back in the late 90s? And the skies are clear and blue. So I have to ask, did NASA, who's not always going to tell us a straight answer, alter the photos? Were they told to alter the photos? If so, and are these other photos where there's actually a clear blue sky, which would say that there's some sort of an atmosphere, real? What say you to that?
Well, I would answer your question in a parallel lane. I know for a fact from meetings I've been to that the Russians and us tried to go to Mars several times. And something came out of Phobos and destroyed each mission. Some of these missions were secret. A couple of them were known to the public. To go back to Mars, they had to figure a way around this, what they called a defense system. I don't know if it was a defense system, but I know the story's true.
Now, you've never told me this, so this is news to me. Continue.
Well, I've got to be careful because I signed a non-disclosure agreement with some of the people who said this stuff. So you're going to ask me, well, who said it? And I would say, you probably might know the name, but I couldn't say any more than that. Okay. Now, some of these people that I collaborated with back in the 90s are no longer with us. Okay. But that doesn't dismiss me from my non-disclosure responsibilities because they have reputations. Their reputations have monetary value, and I could be sued by the benefactors of their estate. So I've got to be really careful what I say. And really, my respect for these people is such that I will never violate it just based on respect. But the reality is this. The majority of these people, and I tell you this Phobos story to indicate to you that I believe Mars was inhabited one time. And what I don't know is if it was Mars to Earth or Earth to Mars, but I've been told by some of these people that it went way beyond that, that the show Stargate SG-1 is based on real history.
I will
real handed down history.
And I will tell you that there are just now beginning to be declassified operations from the 50s, 60s, and 70s that have 20, 30, 40 year time shelves on them of us exploding multiple nuclear weapons in the atmosphere in hopes of trying to stop a impending nuclear attack from the Russians. And we willingly did it. And multiple times it failed horrifically, and it was sealed up from public knowledge, and you never knew about it. Likewise, Roswell, which is one of the things I always go back to. For 40 years, the government tells us Roswell is nothing. It was a secret spy balloon.
Weather balloon.
Weather balloon.
And it was to detect Soviet upper atmospheric testing.
It was a spy balloon.
Yeah.
It was definitely a spy balloon. But that's what it was for. Okay. And then Russia says, nope, that was actually one of our craft. And we had three mutated children that were on it. And they were piloting a drone. We lost control once it reached California. And it drifted all the way into New Mexico and poof, world famous. And then you have the other question.
The Russians have such a sense of humor.
Oh, I know. And then you have the other question, which is complete BS. And once again, as a guy who worked the BS agency for 15 years, the government, I know that we lie. I know that we cover up things, and I know why we do it. But you cannot lie to me, government, and tell me that the four bodies that were found by the police were dropped out of the sky from a C-130, and they all landed within 2 feet of each other. That is not how physics works.
I don't believe that story for a second.
Yeah, but that was the Air Force story. And then in 1994, 1996, they declassify it. The Air Force declassifies it and says, oh, by the way, we're not going to talk about Roswell, but we are going to talk about Hynek's investigation. And there was about, 1,200 or so incidents that we consider phenomenal and we just can't explain. And then fast forward 20 years. Oh, by the way, we can explain it all. It's alien craft. Remember, they said we have one. And then they said we have the soft tissue damage PDF that came out of all the different instances from our spacecraft and our fighter pilots to commercial craft who have seen these UFOs, who have experienced some sort of a radiation exposure, and even the missing time. And then the women abducted who, they had the fetus stole out of the womb. All of that comes out. And then
documented, but Doug, that's been documented.
All documented. The government
about the fetus part, yeah, it is.
The government documented and lied to us for so long, and then they automatically come out and say, "Oh, by the way, it was all real." So I have to ask this: why now?
Well, my default theory: the easiest Occam's razor approach is that they're going to plan to do something like Project Bluebeam. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but I'm saying if you want to look for the simplest explanation, that's what it is.
Soft disclosure.
But I will tell you this. Remember I said Stargate SG-1?
Yep.
What do you think the Nazi bell was?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you actually have to kind of go to Germany to get any of the historical writings about the Nazi bell.
And Paul Preston did that.
Yeah,
exactly.
About the Glock. And the first experimental, I guess you could say, when they tried to turn the device on, went spectacularly awry and killed quite a few people. You know, I mean, it to me, when we, and once again, even with what your father was told, that aliens gave them this information.
The German said that, but I got to give a disclaimer. He asked them specifically one by one, did you ever meet one? And they said, no, but our commanders did.
Right.
So it led my dad to believe, if it has any truth, we know the Nazis were into the occult. It probably was fallen angel demons. That was his assessment. But he said, I don't know for sure. But he said, I doubt it was aliens.
And then
that
you
was
have
his position.
And then you have Antarctica.
Oh, jeez. Can of worms.
You know, between all this stuff from World War II up to now, let's also insert now Skinwalker Ranch. For 20 years, the U.S. government spent millions, I think it was like $20, $30 million to study extraterrestrial phenomena. I think the word phenomena is actually very accurate for Skinwalker Ranch, because nobody, and the physicists that were there were the ones who would say it, nobody could control the experiments. Every time they thought that they had a working thesis, the phenomena, as they would call it, the ranch, would then change. It would adapt. And even now, the owner of Skinwalker Ranch believes that there is an alien base underneath Skinwalker Ranch.
I have a different theory. There could be. And his notion may not conflict with my notion.
Well, what's your theory then?
Well, okay. We have to go back to what's called hyperdimensional physics. And it's out of Tesla, and it's largely been repressed. And people like Michio Kaku today are just kind of falling into the early stages. But with hyperdimensional physics, you basically have pressure centers around the planet. For example, the Ring of Fire starts at 19.6 degrees latitude. And when stars supernova, they do the same thing. And so we see when planets implode, they do the same thing. So we see pressure points, just as an example. But we also see interdimensional interface. In other words, there is this three-dimensional reality, but then there are dimensions stacked upon each other. And Michio Kaku invented what he called superstring theory. And what I think hyperdimensional physics shows mathematically, and Michio Kaku says we can prove the existence of 26 dimensions mathematically. And I think what we're probably seeing, my best guess from what I've read and what I know, is that Skinwalker Ranch is an interdimensional portal where things kind of float in and float out. And what floats in is not like what we have here.
I wonder if that has to do with ley lines.
That's a crude comparison to hyperdimensional physics, but it's true.
Well, it may be a crude comparison, but if I'm correct, almost every ley line around the world where you have ley lines connecting, okay, you have some sort of a paranormal phenomena structure built there, okay? And then you also have occultism within the same area.
Bermuda Triangle, and what do you find in that area? Right. Civilizations that are highly occultic.
Right. So it boggles the mind, were these people speaking to something what they would describe as paranormal when it was really something maybe more technical than that?
I think it fits into hyperdimensional encounter. And I think a lot of the paranormal phenomena fits into this, but I don't think all of it. You know, I think it's possible the Hopis are right, that they may have originated from the Star People. Remember, there was a strong body of scientists and other professions that believe that we went out there and now we're coming back here to see what we left behind. And there's fairly good evidence for it. I just used Mars as one example.
Which culture was that?
You said something else.
The Sumerian?
None. This is derived from research into quantum physics. Some things that Nikola Tesla said that stayed off the record but survived for some people, that told some people, that told, you know, it's kind of like the Hopi legends.
Right.
And I think it's a very believable story. Like I said, I encourage people to do this because we have a large Christian audience, and I am a Christian. But God created the universe in what, 6 days? He rested on the seventh. Well, where'd the dinosaurs come in? Where did the asteroid strike come in that killed the dinosaurs? There were no humans there. God planted the humans after these creatures. We didn't crawl out of the ocean and mutate. That's a bunch of BS. That's Darwin nonsense. But there is strong evidence that we had Pangaea, we had dinosaurs, we had other civilizations, Lemuria, Atlantis. We have maps that have been found about these. The legends are strong and consistent, and they're multi-continental. In other words, the Chinese tell a lot of the same stories that the Indians tell. The Indians tell a lot of the story that people from Africa tell. Remember when they found this tribe, and I can't remember the name of it now, started with a D, and in their cave dwellings, and it was primitive people in the 60s or 70s, and they found these astronomical drawings, like hieroglyphs on their cave walls, and they were depicting star systems with equidistant accuracy that was not known at the time it was discovered, but later on with Hubble, it was discovered. I don't know if you remember that story or not. I'd have to go back and look at that. But the group, the name started with a D, and they were totally an isolated civilization. There's so much I can point to, Doug, that speaks to the fact that we're not the first.
Well, you know, the way the Bible would teach is that one day is in God's eyes, 1,000 years to us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I'm a Christian, praise Jesus, bought and born again in the blood. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But you know, I don't put God in a bottle and say that he can only do these certain things.
Yeah, I know.
I think there's plenty of things that we have not been told, we're not told, and maybe we were not told for very good reasons. And maybe we're just now starting to find out because Lucifer has found a way to finally bring evidence of other things. Now, I'm not meaning to be heretical when I say that. It's just a hypothesis.
You're not. Let me reinforce what you're saying. If the fallen angels came here and they're breeding with earth women, and we have Sodom and Gomorrah and all these evil entities, okay? I mean, even the Israelites were cast into the wilderness for 40 years. You had all this evil. This is why Jesus had to come to save humanity.
There'd be no flesh left alive.
Well, yeah, and that's not just what's coming in Revelation and the tribulation. That also refers to what was happening during that time, because the wages of sin is death. And if Jesus doesn't come, no one's going to be left alive from what we live then, much less, you know, what's coming up here in tribulation. So I agree with you entirely. I'm telling you, Doug, I've talked to too many people who know more than me. We are not the first civilization on this planet. I mean, this is how some people are so ridiculous with the Bible. And God bless them, because they're just trying to make sense out of the world they live in. So I don't criticize them for that. But their theory borders on the unsophisticated and uneducated, that mankind is only 6,000 years old and they can trace the Bible lineage for each family, and you arrive at the 6,000 figure. Give me a break. You know what? My name's not in the Bible. Your name probably is not in the Bible. My family name is not in the Bible. Okay? The Bible is not meant to be a story of 100% tracing of genealogy of the human race in the present time. But there are people that tell you, if you say the earth is older than 6,000 years, you're going to hell.
Well, you know, yeah,
you're kind of on my hot button here, because dogmatic Christians drive me up the wall. And well, listen, they're my Christian brothers and sisters, and I love them, and I'm glad they love Jesus. But some of the nonsense they come up with is not supported by any facts.
Well, I just ask questions, and sometimes that gets me in a lot of trouble. You know, when you have all the different species of hominin, I was asked this question the other day, actually, by my brother, him and I, while he's out on patrol, because he's a cop, while he's out on patrol, we call and talk to each other. And we were actually discussing the various different species of hominin, of human. And all the way from pygmy was what, that was the most recent one found. What, like in Papua New Guinea, you actually had pygmy people that were found.
Yeah.
And you've had, you know, from the Cro-Magnon to all these other different types of, quote, human offshoots. What explains those? Were they just like the gorillas?
No, I can answer. I can answer that question. The evidence on that's pretty clear right now, and this is something I've done a fair amount of research in. Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal actually existed at the same time. Again, Darwinian evolution's just a pile of crap. They are of a different genetic and chromosome structure. They're very similar, but there are differences. There's good evidence that in France, they even interacted with each other. So Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal at the same time. This speaks to what I tell you when I think that fallen angels produce DNA that survives this day. They're the ones trying to enslave the planet. They're the ones that want to depopulate the planet. I mean, what human in their right mind in a position of responsibility and leadership would want to depopulate their own country? That doesn't make any sense. Unless, of course, you're serving Satan. And if you're a fallen angel DNA, then by genetics, you're serving Satan. And there will be no heaven. There'll be a lake of fire for those people. And I don't believe there's any redemption for them. I do not believe that they can be brought to salvation. And I look at, just as example, we brought up Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal coexisting. Different human structure, Doug. Like I said, there are some people that think they have all the answers. And you know, the thing is, you know who you can never engage in these discussions? You can never engage your local 501c3 pastor.
Oh, they don't want to have... He's too busy taking your money and buying a jet with it.
Well, they don't want to have any of their dogma questioned. And I question nothing that's in the Bible. But some people say, if it ain't in the Bible, it didn't happen. Okay, so when mommy changed your diaper when you were 12 months old, is that in the Bible? When you got married, is that in the Bible?
Well, you have some Christians who, and I don't mean to pick on people, but you have some people who believe that there are no longer any gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's no more prophecies. There's no more prophets. You know, there's no more miraculous blessings that happen to people. Some people currently believe we live in the millennial reign of Christ, and I don't think that's accurate. But, you know, what about all the crazy stuff that happened throughout the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament? You know, for if you are going to be a Christian, you have to say that you believe in the supernatural. And yes. Then to be a Christian and say you don't believe in the supernatural, and then to denounce anything supernatural, I find to be silly. I find it to be absolutely silly. You're telling me that aliens can't exist, but Satan exists. You're telling me that hybrids can't exist, but the giants exist. You're telling me that, you know, all these things didn't exist, but we can almost, you know, prove these lost civilizations as we are uncovering them. And I think the...
Why do we have pyramids at the bottom of the ocean, like near Yamaguni by Okinawa? Why do we have a pyramid that we think is 19,000 years old off the coast of Cuba on the ocean floor?
It's our friends, Brent Hyde and Mono Gonzalez, who's currently in Israel right now. God bless you, brothers. I hope you get back home safely. Enjoy your trip. They would have quite the story to tell you about things that have been uncovered within just this century.
Well, we've had some of it on our show.
That's right. We have archaeologists that have uncovered what they presumed were mountains, but they were actually step pyramids in Mesoamerica.
And you have the mounds.
That's right. A lot of crazy things with the mounds. Currently.
And it's not crazy. You can see them physically.
Mm-hmm.
It's not crazy. But the thing is here's the amazing thing. It's all the Egyptians. I knew this was BS when I was a senior in college. And unfortunately, I had a professor that was enlightened, and he and I had this discussion. He said, Dave, the Egyptians were not seafaring people, and we have pyramids all over the planet. So they didn't build all these pyramids. And then he said to me, why can't we duplicate what they did? And we can't, not even today.
We couldn't build a pyramid to scale. I have a great video of a mega industrial-sized front-end loader tractor that could not pick up one of the, I guess, blocks that was used to build, I think it was the Great Pyramid. Okay. They carved it out of granite or whatever stone it is that they used. I'm going to butcher that really bad, but I have the video. I'll make sure I insert it here. But this thing is wheel up and it is, can't even wiggle itself to right itself to pick up just one of these megalithic blocks. I'm talking about 30 tons, 40 tons, 80 tons. All right. And I've been to Sacsayhuama. I've been to Peru. And I've seen just the gigantic size of these stones. And I'm telling you, if you've never been to Peru, if you've never been to Sacsayhuama, and you see that wall, and you see what almost looks like, I don't know, when me and L.A. Marzulli were looking at it, I was like, L.A., this looks like giant fingerprints in this rock that they somehow, and Dave, it's weird to look at and to touch how these rocks were formed like a jigsaw puzzle. That's not rock formations. Rock formations are not like that. And why in the heck would you take so much time to chisel out the rocks to be in such strange arrangements? Oh, and by the way, the historians there will tell you that they did it with shark skin and seashells. And it's andesite
rock. I have no idea. You know, we're way over time. And what we've done here tonight is this is the amateur hour of the Art Bell Show. Because I would never, I loved Art Bell. God, I miss Art Bell. What they have over there now, I'll just leave it at that. But ladies and gentlemen, mysteries of the universe, from a Christian perspective, and some people are going to say, oh, it's not Christianity, you're going to hell. Okay. And I've been told that. But I've talked about the DNA. Perhaps surviving the fallen angels. I'm told by some people, and I don't know that I agree with it because I've read the passages, they think it's biblically verified. I look at it, I'm just creating a hypothesis, and I'm trying to explain why evil humans could be so evil that they want to destroy the planet, and that's what they want to do. Anyone that wants a nuclear war today wants to destroy the planet, or they're mentally ill. We've got to close. So thank you all for joining us. We're going to do more shows like this. Geopolitics is important, but this is about more esoteric issues. This is about your soul. And you may not agree with the facts here, but if we made you think about your place in the universe and your place with destiny and your place alongside the Lord Jesus Christ on Judgment Day, well, then we've done our job. So thank you so much for joining us. This is Dave Hodges on behalf of my partner, Doug Thornton, and we will see you back here again next time.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.